Sabbath blessings, one and all, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School. We want to thank those that are here and those that are listening on the phone, and will be listening to this afterwards. And we praise God that you're here with us and that we're all able to fellowship and worship our God in spirit and in truth, especially on His holy and blessed Sabbath. Before we get into our lesson book, I invite you to please bow your heads and kneel for opening prayer. Dear Father, we invite your presence to be in our midst, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit as well. Dear Godhead, we give you full and complete control of this meeting and all the meetings that will take place today. And we ask, Father, that you will pour out thy Spirit upon us in rich abundance, so that we might indeed be blessed from above, to have our spiritual eyesight and discernment quickened and increased, and that we may truly understand the truth as it is in Jesus, and also see how far we are away from living up to the full measure of men and women in Christ. And thank you, Father, for your forgiveness, for our falling short of your standard. And I plead with thee for the extra grace, strength, and spiritual life that's necessary to come up ever higher and to strive with every ounce of power in us to be true, mature men and women in Christ. We thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being here in our midst now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. For those that would like to follow along in our study book, we are in Steps to Christ, Chapter 12. That's entitled, What to Do with Doubt. And the link for the book is lightministries.com/ID624.htm. So Chapter 12, What to Do with Doubt, and we're down to the middle of page 109, and the paragraph starts out, God intends that even in this life. So the middle of page 109. God intends that even in this life, the truths of His Word shall be ever unfolding to His people. And what we were discussing last time is that there is no possible way that any human being will be able to understand all of the truths that are contained in the Word of God. Because we're finite, God is infinite. And this is the purpose of God, so that in this life, here on the earth, God will ever be unfolding His truth to our minds and understanding. And this will continue on when we get to heaven. We'll continually be finding out new truths, new revelations of God's love for us throughout eternity. But here on this earth, God intends that the truths of His Word shall be ever unfolding to you and me. Continuing. There is only one way in which this knowledge can be obtained. We can attain to an understanding of God's Word only through the illumination of that Spirit by which the Word was given. The things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 and 10. And the Savior's promise to His followers was, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you, which is John 16, verses 13 and 14. So what does the Spirit do for us, dear ones? The Holy Spirit opens our understanding so that we can comprehend the word that the Spirit gave through inspiration to all the holy men of God and even women of God. And that the only way that we can understand the things of God is through the Spirit of God opening our understanding. Now, the Spirit of God is not God Himself, because it says that the Spirit searches all things, including the deep things of God. So the Spirit is not God Almighty, but the Spirit searches the things or the truths of God and then reveals them to us. And further, the Spirit is not Jesus Christ, but He's the representative of Jesus Christ, because it clearly states here that the Spirit shall receive of mine, referring to Christ, and then the Spirit will show it unto you. So the Spirit is not God the Father, because the Spirit searches the things of God the Father. And the Spirit is also not Jesus Christ, because the Spirit takes the things of Christ and then reveals them unto us. And without the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us into all truth, then we would not understand the things of God Almighty, and we would not understand the truths of Jesus Christ. So that is why the devil is attacking the personage of the Holy Spirit to get us to deny that He exists, so that we will not understand the deep things of God, and that the truth of Jesus Christ will not be revealed to us. And thus, we won't come to a correct understanding of the truth. But if we accept that the Holy Spirit is indeed a third God and a third person in the Godhead, and we plead for Him to come to us and open our understanding, then He will indeed lead and guide us into all the truth of God and Christ. Continue. God desires man to exercise his reasoning powers, and the study of the Bible will strengthen and elevate the mind as no other study can. Yet we are to beware of deifying reason, which is subject to the weakness and infirmity of humanity. So if we are to beware of making reason a god, in other words, believing that our mind is God, and worshiping the mind, worshiping the reason, then what do you think the devil is trying to do? The devil is trying to get us to believe and to worship our mind, our reasoning abilities, our intellectual powers. And if you look at what took place during the French Revolution, what led to the debauchery and to the murdering of innocent people, you'll find something interesting. They worshipped the God of reason. What God is that? It's not the God of heaven. He's the God of love. They worshipped the God of reason. They deified the human mental powers. And what led them to murder thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people in the name of this God of reason? It was Lucifer himself. So when human beings are led to deify or to worship anything in nature, including the human body or its powers, they're being led directly by the devil himself. And he will continue to lead them into performing the worst possible sins against humanity. The French Revolution is proof of it. Communism is another proof of it. Humanism is another proof of it. So we are to beware of deifying reason or worshiping anything in nature, including our own bodies or minds, because these are subject to the weakness and infirmity of humanity, and we will be led astray, captive by the devil, in every turn that we do. That's why God gave us his word, to show us what the true standard of life is, and to show us how to attain to that life only through the divine power of Jesus Christ given to us, so that we might be changed and not be like the devil. So God desires you and me to exercise our reasoning powers in the study of his word, pleading for the Holy Spirit to come to us and lead us into a correct understanding of the truth. But in doing so, we're to beware of believing that our own mental reasoning powers are superior to everyone else, and thus place our own mental reasoning on a pedestal to worship and to have other people worship it. Because our own understanding is foolishness with God. We're finite. He's infinite. Our wisdom is faulty. His is perfect. And that's why we need the Spirit to lead and guide us to understand the deep things of God's Word and to understand the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. And he's promised to do so. We just have to ask. Continuing. If we would not have the Scriptures clouded to our understanding, so that the plainest truth shall not be comprehended, we must have the simplicity and faith of a little child, ready to learn and beseeching the aid of the Holy Spirit. A sense of the power and wisdom of God and of our inability to comprehend his greatness should inspire us with humility, and we should open his word as we would enter in his presence with holy awe. So if we really understand that the Bible is the word of the infinite God to you and me, then how should we enter into studying that word? With a holy awe, with reverence. Not that we're worshiping the Bible as a book, but that we're worshiping our God who has given us his word written down in that book. So when we open God's word, seeking to learn what lessons of truth are contained in it, then we should open it just as we would come into the presence of God, with humility, with awe, so that we can be in the right condition to learn as a little child and indeed be blessed with an understanding of truth. Continuing. When we come to the Bible, reason must acknowledge an authority superior to itself, and heart and intellect must bow to the great I Am. So if we come to study God's Word in a flippant way, then are we really going to be in a condition to acknowledge God's authority is superior to our own reason? Is our heart and intellect going to bow before the great I Am with that type of haughty spirit? And the answer is obviously no. That's why we must be as little children. We must recognize that there is a God who is our Father and is over us and knows more than we could ever know. And if we do so, then pride is no longer important to us. Our own intellectual ability is no longer something to admire in us, because we understand how truly weak and faulty we really are. And we need help to understand divine truth. So let us indeed come before God in pleading with Him to open our understanding, to reveal to us His Word, to send to us the Holy Spirit, so that we might indeed be led and guided into all truth, and then receive that truth and allow it to correct our misunderstanding. Allow it to change our thoughts. Allow it to mold our character. Allow the Word to cleanse us from all selfishness and sin, so that we might indeed, as a little child seeks to be just like their father, we too, through a correct understanding of His Word, will seek as a little child to image, to imitate the character of our Father. That's why His Word was given to you and me, to lead and guide us into how to be His children. But we must become as a little child in order to become His children. And that's why pride has no place in a follower of God. It is only the humble and the contrite spirit that God will acknowledge and hear the prayers of and bless them in a rich way. So when we come to the Bible, we must lay our own intelligence aside and come as a learner, being willing to be taught what to do, how to do it, so that our heart and our intellect can indeed be raised up from our humble position into the light as it shines from the face of Jesus Christ. You have to be humble before you can be raised up. And it's God who raises us up. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions, dear ones, before we continue? Continuing. There are many things apparently difficult or obscure. We're down in towards the middle of 110. There are many things apparently difficult or obscure which God will make plain and simple to those who thus seek an understanding of them. But without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we shall be continually liable to wrest the Scriptures or to misinterpret them. So if we believe that the Spirit is not the third separate person of the Godhead, are we going to be able to understand the correct interpretation of God's Word? And the answer is no. It says, without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we shall be continually liable to wrest the Scriptures or to misinterpret them. Continuing. There is much reading of the Bible that is without profit, and in many cases a positive injury. When the Word of God is opened without reverence and without prayer, when the thoughts and affections are not fixed upon God or in harmony with His will, the mind is clouded with doubts, and in the very study of the Bible, skepticism strengthens. So what happens if we come to the Bible without being in the right spirit? Then we're not going to be profited by reading it. In fact, we're going to be injured. Because if we come to study the Bible of God without reverence for Him as God and without prayer to Him for help, and if our affections are thus not fixed upon God, but fixed upon ourselves, or are not in harmony with His will, but more in harmony with our own will, then our mind is not going to be open to understand the truth, but it is going to be clouded with doubt. And we're going to be led to doubt more. And why is this? There's only two powers in the world, either the power of God or the power of the devil. So if we're not under the influence of God, then obviously we're going to be under the influence of the devil, even when we're trying to study God's Word. I mean, do you think that the devil is going to leave you alone when you go to study the very word that's going to take you out of his kingdom? Of course not. He's going to be right there trying to lead you to misunderstand the word so that you will not be taken away from his kingdom, but will be more fully entrenched there. So I hope you can see why it is so important that when we come to desire to know and understand the truth and the real correct interpretation of God's Word, that we must be in the right position with the right frame of mind, or we're going to be led astray. Continuing, the enemy takes control of the thoughts, and he suggests interpretations that are not correct. How many false interpretations of God's word are out there in this world? How many different church denominations are there in this world? Thousands. Tens of thousands. And yet each and every one of these denominations claims that they only have the true understanding of God's word. So here you have tens of thousands of different denominations that are preaching different things that contradict one another about God's word, and they each claim that they have the correct interpretation. So how many people has the devil taken the control of the thoughts of and suggested interpretations that are not correct of God's word? And then they went out and ran with them? Tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of different individuals and churches. So it's not impossible for the devil to take control of your thoughts and suggest things to you that are not the correct interpretation of God's word. Continuing. Whenever men are not in word and deed seeking to be in harmony with God, then however learned they may be, they are liable to err in their understanding of Scripture, and it is not safe to trust to their explanations. So if we see that a church or even an individual is not in all things in harmony with God, is it safe to trust to their explanations and interpretations of the Scriptures? No. Why? Because they're not in harmony with God. And if they're not in harmony with God, who are they in harmony with? With the devil. So then if someone is knowingly out of harmony with God and unwilling to change, then that shows you they're in harmony with the devil. And thus you would be very unwise to believe what they tell you is truth. That's why we're told very clearly, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Which is Isaiah 8:20. So if they're not in harmony with God and they're unwilling to change, then they're in harmony with the devil and they're out of harmony with God and they're not safe to trust. This is a lesson that is very hard to follow. The devil knows Scripture better than we do. And when he came to Christ, he quoted Scripture to Christ. But he left part of the Scripture out. And the part that he left out was done on purpose. But when Satan came to Christ, he quoted Scripture. The scripture that he quoted was Psalms 91. And he was tempting Christ to go ahead and jump off of a high place. And he quoted the scripture saying that God would send the angels to bear you up lest you dashed your foot against a stone. But the part he left out was that God will sent his angels to protect you in all thy ways. Thy referring to God's ways. That's the part he left out. So the devil left that key part out, that God would only protect his people if they're following in all his ways, not their own ways, in trying to get Christ to follow the scripture that he was told out, and then follow the suggestion of the enemy by jumping off the high place. Of course, if he would have jumped off the high place, he would be committing suicide. And thus, how could God protect him? So the devil knows scripture, and he quoted scripture to Christ, but he quoted it in a partial way and twisted it out of the truth into error. So if someone is not in harmony with all of God's known will and is content to remain out of harmony with it, then even if they quote scripture to you, you can't trust it without checking it out yourself, testing it to the law and to the testimony, because it most likely will be twisted out of harmony with the truth and into backing up and supporting error. This is such an important lesson to understand, dear ones. There is so much false doctrine, erroneous interpretations, outright fanatical beliefs and practices. And these are all being used by the devil in so-called brothers and sisters of the faith, to seek to lead and guide you away from God and His Word into direct communion with the devil. And all the time you believe that you're coming closer to God, whereas you're going farther and farther away from God. Christ said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." Not partially know them, or maybe know them, but you will know them. And so if you see that someone is out of harmony with God and is unwilling to change to come into harmony with God, then by that fruit being manifested, you know that they're not of God. So it doesn't matter what name they go by. It doesn't matter how many people they're reaching out to. It doesn't matter how large their ministry is. It doesn't matter how many members are part of their church. It doesn't matter how long they've been in existence, because they're not of God. May God help us to be fruit inspectors, to see the fruits being manifested, to discern whether the teachings coming from their mouths are in harmony with God's Word, because we test it ourselves, pleading with God's Spirit to open our understanding to know whether it's truth or not. And if we see that it's out of harmony with God's word of truth, then there's no light in what they're saying. No more than there was light in what the devil was saying to Christ. So the enemy takes control of the thoughts, and he suggests interpretations that are not correct. So whenever men or women are not in word and deed seeking to be in harmony with God, then however learned they may be, they are liable to err in their understanding of Scripture. They're liable to twist it away from its true understanding, and it's not safe to trust to their explanations. May God help us to learn that lesson, to follow that principle of truth, so that we will not be so easily misled by putting our faith in men or in churches, but instead to place it in God. Isaiah 2:22, cease ye from men whose breath is in their nostrils. They're finite. For wherein are they to be accounted of? Put it in God. Seek to Him. Plead with Him for wisdom to understand His Word. And He'll send the Holy Spirit to you along with all the divine wisdom that you need to understand the truth. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men and women liberally, and upbraideth not. He will not hold back any divine wisdom you need to understand. Go to God. And you'll then be taught of God, which will be the truth. Continuing, those who look to the Scriptures to find discrepancies have not spiritual insight. With distorted vision, they will see many causes for doubt and unbelief in things that are really plain and simple. So things that are plain and simple for a child of God to understand will become distorted and will be unable to be understood by those who come to God's Word without seeking to be taught as a little child would be.
Amen, dear brother, because it really is a dangerous time that we live in. And if we aren't taking that time to truly study and be prayerful about what we're studying, we're going to fall into a lot of traps. And it's really interesting that the exaltation of self is exactly what Satan wants us to do, is to exalt ourselves and our own understanding and our own wisdom and to second-guess the Word of God. So it's very important that we study very thoroughly, that we become very prayerful. And if you have to fast and pray, then fast and pray. It's better to do that and find the assurance through the Holy Spirit that what you're walking in is truly correct and truly right according to the Word of God than to assume or presume or make any other false assumptions about what we think we know is the truth. It's very dangerous times that we live in. I was walking down the street running some errands just the other day, and it really kind of, I don't know why it shocked me so much, but I guess it's because of certain things I was thinking on what is going on in the world today and how dark it's becoming. And I saw three ladies sitting down, and at first I wasn't sure what was going on. They were sitting in front of this door, and then I saw one of the witches' sign boards. You know, they have many witches here, especially in this city, that they open up their shops and they do their witchcraft. So there was one woman sitting down, and the witch was sitting down, and the woman sitting down, and I saw her hand was out towards the witch. And it was really, I guess, shocking to me in a way because it saddened me so much. And what came to my mind was how even Saul ran to the witches, to the witch of Endor, to find answers, which he already had the answer of. And this woman who was sitting there and her friend was standing, I knew that because of the abundance of the Word of God in this country, especially, and how much it has gone forth in this country, at least to know that God is, and the Lord Jesus Christ is, and that the Holy Spirit is moving. There is more than enough ample evidence, and has been spoken in the hearing of many people's ears, as, even as they walk by. It just shocked my conscience a bit that this person would rather go and sit in front of a witch instead of get on her knees and ask the Lord, can you please help me in my life? Can you save me? It shocked, and like I said, I don't know why it shocked me so much, but it did. I almost felt compelled to say something, but I really believe it was the Lord that restrained me in being able to say something, not in yelling or just a pleading to her, like, why would you go to the dead to seek the living? Why would you do this? Do you not even understand how much of a curse you're bringing more upon yourself by seeking after the devil for life, and there's no life there? And more than enough evidence has been given to all of us, really, but it just pleaded out my heart to this person that I was certain more than enough evidence of God's love towards that person had been poured into that person's life for the many years that she had already been on the earth. Because she looked to at least be in her late 20s, early 30s. That's a lot of time. And in this country, it's not hard to find the Bible. It's not hard to see evidences, just in nature alone, which we all know that God is. It's not hard to find these things. And in some cultures, you will hear about the Lord in family gatherings. I mean, it just depends on, you know, where you're at and what's going on. So I guess it kind of shocked me. And it really comes back to what's, you know, being spoken of in a way that here we have a great deception that is going forth, and it's only going to get worse and worse. If we allow ourselves to be deceived, it really is our own fault, because there is ample enough evidence. There is ample enough ways to either get on our knees, get in the Word of God, and seek truth from the Lord. We're going to be without excuse to follow someone, even as Brother Wild was saying, to follow someone just because they have a multitude of people following after them, or because they have these large gatherings, large churches, well-known, popular, charismatic, whatever the case may be, and yet what they're saying does not line up with a thus saith the Lord, is itself destructive, it's foolishness. And in the end, we're not really going to have anyone to blame but ourselves, because it's been posted in the room time and time again. We have to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are each responsible for our salvation. We are each one accountable individually unto the living God. If we allow husband, wife, son, daughter, mother, father, cousins, job, whatever the case may be, houses, cats, dogs, whatever the world has to offer or surround us with, if we allow any of that, and I have to impress the word allowance, because the Lord God Almighty created us as free moral agents. We have free will. We must choose what we're going to do. If we allow those particular elements and people to get in the way of our serving God the way we are supposed to, and we allow our emotions to cloud, distort, twist, or otherwise pervert holy judgment and discernment, in the end, it's still going to be an allowance. It is still going to be a choice. Each and every one of us are going to have our books open, and God, in His loving mercy, He understands where we have been born, what city we were raised in, what conditions we were, but He's also going to look at all that was given by His mercy and grace to compel us in love to walk in the truth. And He is not going to accept at all, because He is holy and just and righteous, they are. He is not going to accept, oh, I couldn't do it because of the love of my son. Oh, I had so much trouble because of the love of my daughter. I just couldn't overcome it.
Oh, but my house and my job and my brother and my sister and my... I just couldn't, Lord. I couldn't. He is not going to take that as an actual valid reason. It is not a reason. It is, amen, dear sister. It is just an excuse to disobey. An excuse not to yield your will to what is righteous and holy and just. An excuse to exalt your emotions and your flesh above the holy principles of God. It is only going to be vain, empty excuses. And no one who's going to be making these kinds of excuses should even dare hope to enter into the kingdom of God. You're not going to. You're going to have a handful of air to try and show to the Almighty God when it's time to bring what you have. That's what you're going to have? Hay, wood, and stubble do not make it into the kingdom. So we have to really be very serious about what this study is being brought to us concerning. We have to know what we stand on and take nothing less than the truth of a thus saith the Lord. That's it. And dig our feet in deep and be grounded firmly in the faith once delivered unto the saints. We have to. God has made it very, very clear. He has given us all that we need, and by the grace of the living God, the Holy Spirit is still pouring and pouring and stirring hearts to yield, to listen, to submit. What do you want to hold on to? Is the love of money the thing that's binding you up? How about the love of vanity, of self? The way you look, how your clothes are. Are these the things that someone might actually come in and say, hey, you know, according to this scripture, you can do this and this and this. Really? Can you? Does the Word of God justify that? If you're placing something before the Lord and taking some man's word or woman's word above the Word of God and the principle of love, then who are you really worshiping? Who do you really believe? It's a very dangerous ground to stand on. And that's exactly where Satan wants us. Because as long as he can get us in his backyard, we're in trouble. We're not supposed to go playing in his backyard. We're supposed to stay in our Father's vineyard and stay right there. And as he sends us to go and work out in the world's vineyard, okay, we go out and we get the work done, we come home. We don't stay out there and mingle and play. We're not there to play. Please, dear brothers and sisters, please be very careful of who or what it is that you place above the truth of God, the Word of God, godly counsel. Please be careful. Be prayerful. We are in very somber and sobering times right now. Please do not exalt your family members above allegiance to the Lord God Jesus Christ. Because in the end, and I impress this upon you again, please, do not exalt your family members, your friends, jobs. Please, do not exalt them above the Lord God Jesus Christ. It is a dangerous thing to do, and I will tell you this very clearly, it is an empty excuse that will not in any way be accepted. It will not be accepted. So if that is struggling with, know this very, very clearly, you are without excuse. So repent of it, because your Heavenly Father loves you very dearly and he will give you strength. Repent of it and cling to him. Flee to him and he will give you power to stand in the Word of God and on the holy principles which he has dictated. Please.
Hello, blessed Sabbath, everyone. How are you? Concerning the sermon, there was something I wanted to say. In the Bible, David says, I was born in shape in iniquity, and in sin that my mother conceived me. So, you know, relate that to all of us. We're all sinners. We're all striving to be like Christ. while striving for the walk. Well, those who choose his way. And when we give the gospel or pick up the word of God or deal with things that are heavenly, you know, that is not ours. And the word is living. So when we're relating it to someone, you know, always we should say a little prayer in our heart and say, Lord, guide my mouth, what am I to say? Guide my thoughts, what am I to think? You know, we are not even supposed to trust ourselves. It should be done. You know, so many people, as they get to know, you know, the gospel and stuff, they become more confident in giving it to others. You know, I think that we should have faith and trust that the Lord will move us what to say, but to have confidence in ourselves to do so, we should be very careful how we deliver it, that it doesn't come to the other person in a place where self is exalted. Because, you know, what Brother Bob was saying is so true. Because if we remember when Christ was to be tested in the wilderness, the devil was quoting Bible. He knows the Bible much more than we do. And the thing is that he can manipulate and change it in everything. But those are not our words. Those are God's words. So, before we pray, I mean, before we read the Bible, when we pick it up, we're supposed to pray and ask first, well, what I usually do, I usually ask for forgiveness first because sin separates man from God. And then I'll ask, give my petition and ask the Holy Spirit to give the understanding of the reading. You know, and this is how, well, I was just sharing something that I do, but, you know, this is how we ought to do. We ought to let the Holy Spirit drive. We ought to let the Holy Spirit guide our words on what to do and what to say. We ought to pray before we pick up the Bible. We're not supposed to read it on ourselves because so many people have picked up the Bible and come up with a whole nother religion. And then they're giving the explanation in their own words. And they're telling people, this is how I feel. This is, this, you know, even though this says this, this is how I feel about this. This is how I feel about that. And we ought not to do so. We're supposed to say, thus said the Lord, it is written, so and so and so, such, 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 and so on. So the thing is that is just what I wanted to say. A very short testimony I will share before I go off is a long time ago I used to work the Family Christian Store. And we sold Bibles. And there are so many different kinds of Bibles. And I met a woman who kept saying, I don't understand the Bible, I don't understand it. So I come out to get this Bible. And I come out to get this Bible. By the time I had met her, she had already purchased almost all the different Bibles. And she was getting the new Bible that came out. And I told her, is not those different Bibles. You read the you stay with the original King James Version Bible, and then after you do so, when you get the King James Version Bible, you pray and ask the Holy Spirit for the understanding of the reading. Because a lot of people don't realize God gave us these words. So we need to ask Him to explain it. Heavenly things, earthly creatures cannot interpret. And if Ellen White could even wish to say, oh, that I could speak the words like the words of the heavenly king in words, so I can describe to you what heaven is like. And she couldn't describe the things of heaven. All we need to describe is the words that are from God. We ought to ask of Him. And that is all I have to say. Amen.
Well, thank you, sister. And thank you, brother. And we've come to the end of our adult and youth Sabbath school. So let us go ahead and close with prayer. You can please bow your heads and kneel as far as possible. My dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for helping us to understand the truth. Please help us, Lord, that before we come to thy word, to let us be in the right frame of mind, in the right position of humility, coming as a little child would, seeking to understand and accepting what is shared from their Father. Lord, help us to do the same with you. Help us to have hearts that are open to receive the Holy Spirit. And please, Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth. Bring to us divine wisdom, a quickened understanding, a sharp discernment that can only come from Thee in seeking to understand truth that is of divine origin. Forgive us, Father, for where we've fallen short in this. Forgive us for believing lies without checking them out ourselves. Forgive us for imbibing false doctrines that are not in complete harmony with your inspired word. And please continue to correct us. Continue, Lord, to refine our doctrinal understanding. Continue to remove all custom and tradition of the elders, all fanatical ideas, all erroneous teachings, so that indeed only the light as it shines from the face of our Savior Jesus Christ can rule in us and your truth be the guide of our lives. Thank you so much for doing so. Thank you for being with us. Continue to lead and guide us in the rest of today's services. And help us to receive the outpouring of thy Spirit in rich abundance today as we seek to fellowship one with each other in brotherly and sisterly love in worshiping thee on your Sabbath. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So let us come back in 5 minutes at 11:10. We'll then have our main church service. So 5 minutes, dear ones.